oil crisis. I do, and I'm going to. But then something happened to me on my way home from work. I was listening to the radio. I was listening to the news on the radio. And I heard something that just kind of tweaked my ear. They were saying that the rapture was supposed to happen. And that there was all these people who decided that the rapture was going to happen on Saturday. And there was looting parties and people on Facebook who were actually paying people to take care of their pets while they were gone. So my sermon got a little sidetracked. Because I was almost worried that it was turning into a rant, but I was remembering that this was actually, in a lot of ways, a lot like my old street preaching when I used to preach at the bus stops and stuff years ago. I was like, wow, yeah, I remember this. Because people, back in 2000, we had the same problem. 99. Yes. I had the same problem. Although, at one point, 99, you know, I was one of them. I read this book called 2000 AD by Hal Lindsey. And it said, a day in the life of Christ is a thousand years. Day in the life of God is a thousand years. And there's 7,000 years. And it's all over at 2000. These are the songs. I was scaring people at my work. I had one guy convinced we were going to go camping in the next 5 years when the Antichrist came. It was funny. He didn't want to get saved, but he wasn't going to take the mark either. And I remember that. I was just like, just so filled with anxiety and fear. And you know, the one thing that got me out of it was I know that God is not a God of fear, but he is a God of sound mind and peace and love and joy. And he doesn't want me to be filled with anxiety. And I thought about the media and all the hype. And I thought, what would Jesus say to this? You ever think about that? What would Jesus think of this? At first, I was like, hallelujah, I'm going to get lots of witnessing opportunities this week. And I was like, oh, I know about those witnessing opportunities. Sometimes they end in yelling, people laughing. And so, Mike, I would like you to pretend to be Jesus for a minute. Now, Mike is going to read the words in red, okay? All right, Matthew 24.
Verse 23.
Okay.
Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show you great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes from the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Well, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Wait, Jesus, when is this going to happen?
Well, but no one of that day and hour, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark.
Wait, Jesus. Just pretending.
And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. And also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
You mean that nobody will know when you're coming back? Just read it again, yeah.
No. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're welcome.
For clearing all that up for us. It's quite clear. I wish some of those media members had had Bibles. Instead, I hear this, if God doesn't come back on the day that he told me, he must be a liar, foolishness. I'm like, oh, God. God, 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 God. Jesus, what is going on? You know? What is going on? And the Lord just kind of spoke to me. Hope this works. About this parable. Here it comes. He says, oh yeah, it's just foolish virgins. That's what the Lord spoke to me. False prophet came along and deceived some foolish virgins. You know, and Jesus, he said this, he said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. And now there was 5 of them who were wise and 5 of them who were foolish. Now, I've been a foolish virgin, I told you guys. In 1999, very foolish virgin. Stressed out. Burned out, filled with fear, unwanted and unneeded persecution. Preaching out of judgment instead of love. For they took their lamps, the foolish ones, and they had no oil with them. Do you know what that meant? If I just had and I did, by the way, at the end. In 1999, I had intimacy with God. And I had a prayer life. And I asked God what was going on. And I started reading in my Bible about end times. And I quickly learned. I quickly learned, you know, that I was being a foolish virgin. Now, my job as a shepherd and a pastor is to make sure none of you are foolish virgins. So I have a heart and a concern today. See, I wanted to talk about the coming revival and fire and passion and the goodness of God and the glory and signs and wonders. But it's okay because, you see, this is a sign and a wonder. Because Jesus is coming back. And there is false prophets. And there is great deception. But there's also a great glory. So I'm ashamed that I have to focus on this stuff for a little bit. Don't worry, it won't last long. Because I rather focus on the glory of God. On the glory of God, on the peace of God, on the awesomeness of God, on the power of God. I rather focus on the things Holy Spirit would allow me to do because, you see, I want us as a church to be a church that's wise virgins, not asleep, but with our lamps filled with oil, our lamps filled with intimacy that comes from spending time with God. You see, the foolish virgins, they took their vessels and they had no oil in them. And so they were listening to these false prophets because they weren't listening to God for some reason. And the bridegroom was delayed, and they got burned out and frustrated. And they crossed their arms, and they fell asleep. They said, "Oh, this work that I have to do in God is too hard. I'm frustrated. Jesus didn't come on Saturday. Maybe it was all just a lie. Ugh, hate that. If only we just read our Bibles." And so, but at midnight there was a herald. He said, "Behold, the bride is coming, and all the virgins arise and trim their lamps. And the foolish and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. We're going out.' They said, 'No, lest there should be enough, not enough for us. Rather, those go to those who sell and buy for yourselves oil.'" Now, me personally, I really believe, and I'll show you why in a bit, that the foolish virgins don't have oil because they don't have intimacy with Christ. And they're going to these packed churches where the media is, where there's guys who say that they know the date and the hour. And they're giving an offering to live their Christianity through somebody else's life. With the promise of being healthy and wealthy. They might even receive health and wealth. But it's not so much health and wealth that we need, but we need oil. We need intimacy with Jesus Christ. Yes, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, strong in the spirit, and rich in the spirit, and you'll find that you won't be constrained and bound by the things of this world, the worries of this world, and you'll be able to break the rules like Claire's parents and Claire. You can actually have more money than what you would if you were working full-time, the two of you. I've experienced this. Joseph has experienced this. You can break the rules. You can throw away a $300 watch and God will give you a $5,000 watch. You can intern at a church and not have a job and people can be sending you $1,000 checks every month to pay your mortgage. You can, it's true, it works. But all that stuff is comes through intimacy with the bridegroom, because the bridegroom will say, "Hey, could you do this for me? Hey, could you go here for me? Could you do there for thee? Could you speak to this person for me? Could you intern here for me? Could you do this sign, this wonder, this miracle for me?" And then you have, you're a wise virgin. You know why? Because you have the wisdom of the Lord. Wisdom from God. Because of your relationship with Him. Instead of the foolishness and confusion of this world and its false prophets. It's really scary because a lot of these people, at the end of the age, Jesus will come and they'll cry, "Lord, Lord, let us in, let us in." And Jesus will say, "I don't even know you." See, the problem is, in the end times, in the last day, sorry, it's a little small there, but perilous days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. And trust me, I've lived that life. It's empty, 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 empty. slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, treacherous, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you know what that means? That means that you wrote a check to a pastor to allow him to do a good work, and it's okay. God sometimes will ask you to do that so you can sow, so you can reap, and that's wisdom. But there's other times where you do that because you're trying to buy some oil for yourself because you haven't spent time with intimacy with God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? When you'd rather go to the bar and listen to Do Me Baby than spend time in a secret place with your real lover. Get drunk off what I call the cup of lust rather than the cup of Christ. There's a problem. But it's a sign and a wonder because the Bible says even the elect will be fooled into doing this. And then you go to church and you try to buy some oil for yourself. I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to preach this. But I'm going to preach it because it's real. I know that sometimes when I get heavy, maybe that's why there isn't so many people here, but at least I'm telling the truth in love. And maybe I don't have CNN coming to my church in a big crowd to make a big fool out of me because I have no intimacy with God and I'm spitting lies. But I'd rather be with God and have intimacy with him and have oil of his presence. And a few faithful people who really want to know and love God and hungry for him than all of that. I work full time, so I'm not in it for the money, that's for sure. Where are we? So, it says, having a form of godliness but denying its real power. I was just talking about that. They have a form of godliness. They go to church and whatnot, but they deny its real power. Because its real power is to change your heart, your mind, and your life. And cause a revolution to start up with inside of you and explode out all over this world into every sphere of influence. That's what its real power is. And you become a vessel of mercy and peace and love and joy and goodness and kindness. And you're willing to suffer for others as Christ has suffered for you, but you get a joy and a pleasure out of it because you have intimacy with him when you're doing it. And then you become wise, a wise virgin, and not a foolish virgin. How you can tell if you're a foolish virgin? If you have any of these things in your life that you're struggling with, then you're struggling with being a wise virgin, and you're veering off into the foolishness of this world. It says, for those who creep into households, from such people turn away, for they creep into households, and they make captives of women and load who are loaded down with sins, and they lead into various lusts. Did you know that greed is a form of lust? The Bible says that. I honestly believe the reason why we can't get the lust out of the church is because we're constantly welcoming it in the form of greed. I honestly believe that. I believe the day that we get rid of the greed within the church will be the day that the spirit of lust gets kicked out as well. 100%. I do. I'm not saying everybody in the church is greedy. John or not, certainly not greedy. I've never seen a church give away so much as the airport and uncopyright things purposely to try to make it spread rather than hold it back so that they can make a profit. I could tell you story after story after story where they've sown, even been burned in sowing, and they just keep sowing because they know that every time they sow, God fills their lamp with more oil. And they're sowing into the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of this world. You can go into your comfort zone and fall asleep. Maybe your comfort zone is being proud. Maybe it's being disobedient. Maybe it's being a lover of money. Maybe it's being without self-control. Maybe it's being a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. Whatever that pleasure is. I know that I struggle some days to keep awake. But oh, beloved, don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Wait for the bridegroom to return. You know? But carefully follow the doctrine of Paul, but the doctrine of Christ, the Bible, the manner of life and purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, even afflictions. You know? Yes, to all who desire to live a godly life will suffer some kind of persecution or suffering. But it's better than being one of those evil men who grow worse and worse, being deceived and deceiving others. My humble opinion. What do you guys think? Foolish virgin. That's what happens. But then it goes on in verse 15 from that, from childhood, it says, you know the Holy Scriptures, for they will be able to make you wise for your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. For all Scripture is inspiration of God, and it's profitable for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. Keep you safe from all that stuff at the top. From all the darkness. Because we want to have intimacy with God. And you can have intimacy with God through the Scriptures. For if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And they will come to us and make their home within us. And we will be filled with the oil of joy and the anointing of God. With the Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. I need more. I need to prove that I'm filled with the oil of joy because of my intimacy with you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More. He who does not love me won't keep my word. But the word which we hear is not just Christ, but it is the Father's. These things he's saying to us now, but he says the Holy Spirit, our helper, will come. And he will teach us all things and bring to remembrance things that he has said to us. And he will give us a peace Not as the world gives. No. That peace is also described as the oil of joy. C.S. Lewis said that love is either peace resting or peace dancing. Oh. And that's why at the beginning we prayed that the Lord would take out all the fear and all the anxiety and fill us with what? The love. Because we want our lamps to be filled with oil of joy. What is the lamp? I believe the lamp is our heart. I really do. There's actually a place in 2 Corinthians that talks about us being earthly vessels, jars of clay, carrying a great light. I believe that that light is the oil of God's grace being lit inside of us like a candle. You ever seen a candle or oil inside a jar that's lit? Usually it has a nice smell that goes out and it produces a soft glow within a room. Creates a feeling of intimacy. Of pleasantness, of rest, and peace, and joy. It's not, the sky is falling, the sky is falling! Jesus, come back on Saturday! No. But if you don't have intimacy with God, that oil within your lamp will burn out. I was talking when I was praying at the prayer meeting. It was so awesome. God was like reminding me of when I was engaged to my wife. And me and my wife, we have these passionate kisses. So passionate, in fact. I was doing marriage counseling or something. I can't remember. I was telling somebody. I was actually telling a friend of mine. I'd have to put my seatbelt on and buckle up for safety because I just couldn't wait to be one with my bride. It's true. But oh, did you know that you can kiss Jesus right now? That you can kiss him passionately and intimately? And that when you do, there's going to be a passion and a fire that burns within you and you will just won't be able to wait to be one with your bride. And yeah, you'll long for his return, but you'll find yourself preparing your life in such a way to make that happen. In my case, I stopped doing Bible college. I started working overtime and saving truckloads of money for my marriage. I started doing marriage counseling and asking God to get all my junk out of my life so that when I finally became one with my bride, it wouldn't hinder our life together. That's what wise virgins do. See, from the oil of intimacy, we become prepared for the coming of our bridegroom, and our lamp is full. We don't have to go search out somebody who has more oil than we do, write them a check so we can buy some oil for ourselves. Does this make sense? Good. Yeah, it's beautiful and it's terrible. Because I know, because I've been doing marriage counseling and not all the marriages work. It all depends on how dedicated that individual is to their bridegroom or their bride and how much they're willing to surrender. And I would suggest that if you're not willing to surrender all, don't get married. But the time when you're engaged is that time where you can actually prepare your heart for a full surrender through intimacy and by love. Does that make sense, guys? Good. Those who love him, they'll find themselves keeping his word. They'll find themselves having the Father and the Son make their home with them. And the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come and help us to prepare. Holy Spirit, I need a little more manifestation here. Yeah, good. Helper, Holy Spirit, will come and help us to prepare to meet our bridegroom. We'll find ourselves pushing every hindrance aside, working the crazy hours and saving the money and doing the marriage counseling for hours and working on our issues. Engagement isn't always easy. Sometimes it's tough because there's issues. Talking with my bride about those issues and coming to a consensus and peace about them so that we might be able to move forward in our relationship. Because we do not want to be ignorant. We do not want to fall asleep. Oh, sorry. Those who have fallen asleep, you see, Jesus is coming back. And if we believe that he died and rose again. Hold on. This is the word of the Lord, yeah? That we would remain alive until the coming. By no means. Oh, sorry, guys. This is about the rapture. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, but we will be caught up with him. He will come back. We will marry our bridegroom. But the real question is are we ready? Are we ready? And if there's stuff inside of our lives, it's okay. Because God has actually given us time to get ready. And that's why the present is a gift. Does that make sense? And yeah, there's distractions. There's all kinds of distractions in life. But really, when it's all said and done, the real question will be, did you love Jesus? And evidence of whether you love Jesus or not will be, did your heart burn for him and did you follow the wisdom that he had to say so that you could push your issues out of your life so you could become married to him? The issues, well, love of money, love of self, boastful, proud. Those are the issues. We all got them. But if we push those hindrances aside and we prepare our hearts through intimacy and negotiation and talking and kissing our bridegroom, I know we can do it, church. You just have to be willing to try. You willing to try? I'm willing to try. He's worth it. He's beautiful. He's awesome. He's rich. Not so much the earthly riches. We're talking about the glorious riches of God. You know what the Bible says God is rich in? Mercy. Compassion. Mike, could you come up here for a second? Mercy and compassion, these are the things that will help us do what? fall deeper in love with our bridegroom. Fill our lamps with oil. Who wants their lamp filled with oil? Intimacy. The goodness of God. Peace of God. Oh, I see what happened. The glory of God. Who wants to push every hindrance aside and begin to prepare their life to spend the rest of their life with the lover of their souls from all eternity? The one who is willing not only to put up with all of our junk, because he has for 2,000 years, a lot longer than we have, but he's also willing to take down our defenses and our fear and everything that we have that hinders us from being everything that he is. Think about it. And all we have to do is become filled with his riches of mercy, love, compassion, peace, joy, patience, kindness. These are the things that bring true happiness. The Rolling Stones can't get satisfaction. I say it all the time. Britney Spears can't get satisfaction. They're filled with pride, fear, and all those things we mentioned before. But I want to be a wise virgin. I want my lamp to be filled with the oil of God, because the oil of God consists of these very things that I'm mentioning. And that's why love covers a multitude of sins. And peace, joy, mercy, and kindness shine and burn brighter than any light they have in Hollywood. Mother Teresa is a much bigger star than any star that they ever put up on a silver screen. Jesus Christ, for that matter, is a much bigger star than any star they ever put on that silver screen. And the beauty of Christ surpasses a million supermodels. And I love him to death. Literally. I love him to death. To my death. Because he loved me to his death. So that we could be one. As he is one with his Father. Ha. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. You know, I got more written down. Lots of revelations here. I was going to talk about Thessalonians, but I think we're going to stop here. Because I really feel that there's a bunch of people who really need to come to the front. And I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to pray that the Lord would fill us fresh with oil. That we might become rich in mercy, rich in grace. That we might take a hope, behold our bridegroom, and give him a really big kiss. That we would be driven to belong, to be one with him. Because that's all I really want. And that's all that really matters when it's all said and done. Because I do not want any of us, especially myself, no offense to you, to be counted with the foolish. Because it says that they're cast out into a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is your choice. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, and you please. The place where there's envy, proud, boasting, lover of self, lover of pleasure instead of lover of God, that's the place where that's all that is. It's already here. There's lots of weeping and gnashing of teeth in the world. But in Christ, there's peace, joy, because he's full of mercy and full of grace. There's an oil that'll light a fire within you that will cause you to become a vessel that glows and burns out all of the darkness. And I want to be filled with that oil until the day my lover arrives. And I know that the longer he keeps me here, the more oil he wills to pour into my vessel. And him leaving us here and not having a rapture on Saturday just means that God wants to give us more peace, more love, more joy, more beauty for ashes, more mercy, and more grace. So come on up, let's pray. Let's do some business, let's get filled. Let's kiss God long and deep, filled with passion and compassion. Because there's no life like a life in God.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.